Sorry, I kicked it under.
Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
I had told Kathleen earlier in the week that I'd probably be preaching from Psalms, and then the Lord got a hold of me and said, "No, we ain't doing. You're not going to do that." So, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 6, and if you realize where it's at, you know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, we start with the Beatitudes, and it comes on down, and Jesus is teaching. And for the next two or three chapters, it's all, if you have a red letter Bible, it's all in red because Jesus is doing all the talking. And so if you turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll go to verse 25, the Lord had put this on my heart because there's a lot of folks, if you listen to the news, especially those of you who are heavily invested in the stock market, and those of you that have and heavily invested in small businesses, and you're worried about your material wealth, and God is telling us that that there is a place for material things, but also that they should not lead to anxiety. Our material things should not give us worry. You know, we, like I said, we're continuing for 365 times in this great book. It says, "Do not fear," or "Fear not." And so, this is just one more example of the Lord bringing to us that Trust in Him. Trust in what He does. So I'll start reading in verse 25 and go to the end of the chapter in verse 34. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. What it shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than a remnant? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for remnant? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, nor what shall we drink, or wherewithal what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Most glorious Lord God, we love you. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, I just ask that you would open it up to us. Allow everything that you say permeate our hearts, Lord. Let our faith grow. Let our hearts jump with desire because of the promises you've made to us. Father God, I love you. I ask that I decrease, you increase, Lord, so that this message will hit and see and fix the hearts that need to be fixed. In Jesus' name, amen. So we need to place no thought for material things. And he tells us at the end of it, you know, that why do we worry about tomorrow? There's enough worry for today. Tomorrow's worry will take care of tomorrow. Therefore, because the kingdom of God is so greatly superior to the earthly pursuits, it deserves our attention. This verse, Jesus is telling us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we all should be doing daily. Regardless of what's going on around us in society, we should wake up in the morning and seek the kingdom of God. At lunchtime, we should seek the kingdom of God. All day long, we should be seeking the kingdom of God. We should not get tangled up worrying about the things of this world, because our life is more than those things. Think about it. Our lives are more than the things that have got us caught up and worried in this world. Had a conversation with a great friend of mine. Probably one of my closest friends. I don't get to see him as often as I like. And I talked to him, I think it was Friday. And we had a long conversation. Then we got to talking about an array of things. We talked about religion. We talked about politics. We talked about a lot of stuff. But he made a profound statement, and he was right. He said, there was a time in my life when I was younger, I used to argue with those who had different opinions than mine. He said, what I do is, I make a statement. If they agree with it, fine. If they don't, that's fine. He said, but I don't pour gas on a fire. He said, I've started pouring water on fires. And he said, and you would not believe the reaction you get when you start putting water on fires. And I thought about that. That's exactly what God's telling us here. Don't get caught up in everything that's going on around us. Don't argue with those who through ignorance may ridicule what you're talking about. You know, what will you eat? What will you drink? What will you put on? These things, God has already provided for us. There's not one person I know here that's part of this congregation doesn't have a roof over their head, doesn't have some food in their refrigerator, doesn't have clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, vehicles to get around. Yeah, we might not have the ones we want, but we have what we need. And if we don't, all you have to do is let somebody know and we'll help you acquire what you need. You know, the thing is the more we worry and lose our focus on the things that's going on around us, the less time we have to praise God for what He's already done. Think about this. Not one person in our congregation has coronavirus. Only 5 people in our county have coronavirus. Pray, amen. I mean, we need to praise God for that. I personally do not know anybody who is affected with the virus. I've seen the ads on TV. I heard the name, but I personally do not know them. Any of my circle of relationships, none of those folks have a relationship with that person. Yes, we're serious. We're trying to save lives. But at the same token, thank God that the folks that you know, that you deal with, don't have it. Nor any of their extended friends or families have it. It says, do not worry. There's a difference between a godly sense of responsibility and an ungodly untrust and worry. However, an ungodly untrust and sense of worry usually masquerades as responsibility. You have a responsibility to God. You have a responsibility to your family. You have a responsibility to your employer. You have a responsibility to the government under which you live. And we take those responsibilities. Nothing that they put on us should be overbearing or overpowering. Has God hung a burden on you that you think is too tough to carry? I don't think so. Because in the godly sense, He tells us what? Those of you who are heavy laden, do what? Lay your burdens upon Me. So if you're heavy laden with burdens and worry, unload them. Put them where they belong, at the feet of the cross. Is not life more than just food and clothes? The worry Jesus spoke of debases man to the level of an animal who is merely concerned with physical needs. Your life is more, and you have eternal matters to pursue. Think about it. When we seen the mass hysteria and the hoarding of items in the grocery store, that was animalistic behavior. And if you're a child of God, shame on you for hoarding. You're not trusting in the Lord. No one needs 1,000 rolls of toilet paper. I'm sorry. No one needs 250 pounds of beef. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in what the world tells you to do. Travel the path that is narrow. God is telling us here, Jesus is telling us that we're to be concerned about the right things, the ultimate issues of life. And when we leave the management and the worry over material things with our Heavenly Father, life is so much simpler. This is what I can tell you about the stock market. It goes up. And it goes down. And if you're in it for the long haul, you're going to come out on the other end all right. Here's what I can tell you about everyday life. Something changes every day. Something changes every day. Nothing stays the same. And we should be okay with that. Because I can promise you right now, nothing that has happened over the last 60 days and nothing that's going to happen over the next 60 days will surprise God. Nothing. He already knows. It may surprise us. It may cause us to think differently. Here's what I want to tell you. Charles Spurgeon said, "You cannot say that Jesus Christ ever troubled his head about what he should eat or what he should drink. His meat and drink consisted of doing his Father's will." How many times did they have to bring food and drink to him because he was what? About his Father's business. He wasn't concerned about what he was going to eat or drink. He knew that his Father would supply it. In verse 26 to 30, it says an example in arguments against worry. It says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add a cubic of stature, a cubic to his stature?" A cubic is the length from the inside of a man's elbow to the tip of his longest finger. How many of us by worrying can make ourselves a cubit taller? How many of us by worrying can add days to our lives? How many of us can add hairs to our head? None of us can do that by worrying. In fact, worrying will have the opposite effect. Worrying will make you sick. Worrying will cause you to lose weight. Worrying will cause you to become weak and feeble. Think back to the Psalms. David was worried, and what happened? He said, "My bones hurt." We as God's children are not called to worry. We're called to pray. We're called to have hope. We have a Savior who knows our needs. We have a God who hears our prayers. And think about the lilies of the field. They don't move. They don't toil. And they're beautiful. And yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more clothing will he give to you? And then it says, "Oh, you of little faith." You of little faith. In my wallet, I have a little plastic baggie. And in that little plastic baggie is one mustard seed. That mustard seed, relative to faith, will move mountains. Yet we who see God working every day, we know who's in control, have less faith than a mustard seed. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. God provides for the birds. He takes care of them. He provides for the flowers and the grass, and he takes care of them. Yet, think about this. The birds don't worry. Birds do not worry. But they do work. Birds just don't sit there with their mouths open expecting God to fill them. God provides. You know, we have that old saying, the early bird gets the worms. Have you ever watched robins early in the morning? You ever watch the birds early in the morning? Where are they at? They're on the ground. Late in the evening, what are they doing? They're flying around and doing what? Eating bugs. God provides. Are you not more valuable than they? The worry many people have over the material things of life is rooted in a low understanding of their value before God. So they don't comprehend how much He loves and cares for them. Every morning when they wake up and they go to the mirror and they shave and prepare themselves to go out for the day, they forget that the image that they're looking at is that of God. See, each one of us, man and woman, is created in the image of God. And if you're created in the image of God, do you not think that God has a value before of you higher than any other thing in creation? I think so. Which of you worrying can add a cubit to your stature? Worry accomplishes nothing. We can add nothing to our lives by worrying. Just take a moment and think. What have you added to your life by worry? What? Other than heartache and distress, short fuses and tempers, misunderstandings, nothing positive comes from worrying. There are many, although there may be greater sins than worry, but there are none more self-defeating and useless. The ancient Greek may mean about adding to life instead of adding to your height. But the thought is the same. Indeed, instead of adding to our lives, we can actually harm ourselves through worry. Stress is one of the great contributors to disease and poor health. If God so clothes the grass of the field, God even takes care of the grass. He will certainly take care of you. We're confident of the power and the care of a loving Heavenly Father. Are you confident of the power of a loving Heavenly Father? Because if you're worrying and you're scared, you need to seek Jesus. And he closes by saying, "O ye of little faith," that part there in verse 30, is not a little fault. Little faith is not a little fault. For great wrongs the Lord. When you have little faith, you greatly wrong God. And sadly grieves the fretful mind. To think the Lord who clothes the lilies will leave his own children naked is shameful. Remember, you've been grafted in. You are a child of God. You're a co-heir with Jesus. Do you think he's going to leave you unclothed and naked and alone? No. Spurgeon says, "Oh, little faith, you need to learn better manners. You need to learn to give praise where praise is due. You need to praise God. Yes, you may be going through some tough times, but God is with you." Here's the thing you need to understand. There is nowhere you can go in the universe where God's not. And you, as a child of God, there's nowhere that you can go and flee or whatever where you will not be in the presence of God. He lives in your heart. Let Him work. Open up your heart. You have a Heavenly Father that knows your needs. It says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Therefore do not worry." We are invited to know a freedom from the worry and the anxiety that comes from undue concern about material things. we can reflect the same kind of heart that Matthew Henry showed when he said the following after being robbed. Lord, I thank you that I have never been robbed before. That although they took my money, they spared my life. That although they took everything, it wasn't very much. That it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. In the midst of all that, Matthew Henry praised God. And if he would have not praised God, he would have been a robber also. In the midst of what's going on in our lives, think about this. We've never had to deal with this before. Praise God. We've never had to live like this before. Praise God. I'm going to praise him so that I don't rob God of his glory. See, we forget that Scripture tells us that all things work to his glory. All things. And unlike a former president, the definition of all is all. For all these things the Gentiles see, Jesus contrasts the life of those who know God and are separated from him with those who know God and receive his loving care. Those who know God should seek after other things. We shouldn't be seeking after what we're going to eat and drink and wear. We should be seeking after, God, how can we serve you in the midst of this? How can we be a blessing to others for the blessings that you gave us? In verse 33, it says, put God's kingdom first, and he will take care of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. This must be the rule of our life when ordering our priorities. Yet it's wrong to think that this is just another priority to fit into our list of priorities and to put at the top. Instead, in everything we do, we seek first the kingdom of God. For example, we rarely have to choose between honoring God and loving our wives, or between being good workers. We honor God and seek first the kingdom of God by being good husbands and good workers. They're intermingled. We should also remember the statement in its intimate context or immediate context. Jesus reminds us that our physical well-being is not a worthy object to devote our lives unto. If you think it is worthy that your God is mammon, then your life is cursed with worry and you live life too much like an animal, concerned mostly with physical needs. We should live our lives as spiritual beings. God's going to take care of our physical needs. He's provided for us. The majority of us have a job. The majority of us have homes. We have clothes. We have food. Those things are taken care of. Outside of that little physical need, how can we honor God and help our community? Jesus did not tell them to stop worrying. He told them to replace worry with a concern for the kingdom of God. A habit or a passion can only be given up for a greater habit or greater passion. What this verse demands, therefore, a commitment to find and to do the will of God, to ally oneself totally with his purpose. And this commitment must come first. We must seek the kingdom of God first, no matter what is going on. And it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you put God's kingdom first, and do not think that your physical well-being is a worthy object to live your life for, You then may enjoy all these things. He promises heavenly treasures, rest and divine provision, and fulfillment of God's highest purpose for man, fellowship with Him and being a part of His kingdom. That's what we're practicing here. The choice to seek first the kingdom of God is a fundamental choice everyone makes when they first repent and are converted. Yet every day after that, our Christian life will either reinforce that decision or deny it. Are we reinforcing the decision to serve God and seek His kingdom, or are we denying it? A conclusion will come to with common sense. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not worry about tomorrow. If you must worry, worry only for the things of today. Most of our worry is over things that we have absolutely no control over anyway, and is therefore foolish as well as harmful. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus reminds us of the importance of living for the present day. It isn't wrong to remember the past or plan for the future to some degree. Both of those are good. Yet it is easy to become too focused on either the past or the future and to let the day and its own trouble be ignored. God wants us to remember the past, plan for the future, but live in the present. We're to live for today. We're to serve God today. We'll have issues to deal with tomorrow. And so today, if you hear this message and you're worried, drop them at the foot of the cross. Today, if you've lost hope, remember that God is still in control. Remember that you're a child of God. And He's never left you. Stop. Stand still where you're at. Cry out. He's there. And for those of you who are hearing this and haven't made a commitment to Christ, I urge you to do so. I urge you to do so. You will be surprised at the relief you will receive and the unloading of the burden of trying to carry it all yourself. Christ is calling you to salvation. Are you going to answer that call? Let's pray. Most glorious Lord God, we love You and we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You, above all, have told us not to worry. But if we are, we're to worry about how we're serving You in Your kingdom. We needed that reminder. Lord, show us through Your eyes who to serve and who needs help. Lord, show us through Your will what hands we can use and what feet we need to use to be Your servants for Your kingdom today. And Lord, may we start our day every day asking You to guide us and seek You first in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.